can't feel velocity, but it's easier to talk about. So just think of this. You're in an airplane, cruising altitude. Can you tell you're moving if you have the window shut or you close your eyes and you have speak, you can't hear the motor? No. We can't pick out velocity, but we can feel acceleration. Yet it was a really hard concept to introduce. In fact, Galileo and others at the time struggled with how to really define this. But he was the one with his experiments who started to solidify the whole notion of acceleration. So what he concluded from these inclined experiments was that all bodies fall with the same constant acceleration. They don't go by their mass, but all bodies. That's going to be the law of falling bodies. So all objects. All objects fall with the same acceleration. And the same constant acceleration. Same constant acceleration. All bodies fall the same way, yes. They're limiting friction, and in case of the paper that I did, we eliminate a certain type of friction known as what? Yeah. No, we're not limiting gravity. Air resistance. Now, why didn't Aristotle realize this? Well, to actually get rid of air resistance, what do you have to do? Get rid of the air. If you get rid of the air, what do you create? And what does nature abhor? A vacuum. So to Aristotelians, creating a vacuum was impossible. That air would always rush in. You could never do this. You could never have that type of motion, so let's not talk about it. Galileo is making an abstraction again. So this is the thing. He's kind of working with philosophy and ideas. He's doing experiments, though, which is a big thing, but then he's making abstractions. So he's kind of combining the old and the new to come up with these insights. No truth. Really brilliant as we look back on it. So he could say you can imagine this. Now, he had another argument, I think I put it in the readings, about if you had a heavy object and a light object, and according to Aristotle, the heavy object, that's the one here, falls faster. And Galileo said, okay, let's tie them together with a string. And how is it going to fall? Well, the heavier object, I'll pull this one down, so it should fall faster than just the heavier one again because it's got more mass, because it's got this other thing on it too. So it should fall faster, but then the light object wants to fall slower, so it should slow down the anvil, so the anvil should fall slower than if it were alone. So how can the anvil with the string, with the hammer, fall faster but also fall slower than the anvil alone? It can't. The resolution is they fall at the same rate, the same acceleration. Okay. So the idea is you've got an anvil, it falls. So now you attach a hammer to it. So the whole body is now heavier, and according to Aristotle, it should fall faster than just the anvil. But if you look at tying it with a string, the hammer wants to fall slower than the anvil, so it should slow down the anvil. And so the combination should fall slower than the anvil. So how can it fall faster and slower? The only resolution would be if they fall all at the same. And that was another argument he had made in two sciences and how things fall. So he gives us this wonderful idea, and I wanted to demonstrate this to you since I've been following Galileo's footsteps and I had two fun demonstrations. So hopefully don't make a mess. One is here, this piece of cardboard string, and I have a glass of water, and will you attest that it's full to the top? Okay, so I will carefully balance, put this in the middle. The only thing you have to do is remember, I always want just gravity acting on it. Yeah, I have strings to prevent it, but I have to let it swing naturally, and I need to grab this over in the middle here, like that. Once you do that, you can have it go and do this, and you don't have to worry about it falling. Okay, now you did this as a kid. What did you do as a kid? went all the way around. So now that you could just go sideways like this, as long as it was gravity, because gravity is accelerating the water in the cup the exact same way, so the water can't get ahead of the cup. Okay. Yeah, weird. Now, another way of seeing this is here. We could bring in this trash can to do this. I have a cup that has a hole in it. This has a hole in it, so prove it. Okay, it's a hole. And now what I'm going to do, I'm going to drop it, so the hole's on this side here. I'm going to drop this, I hope, through the hole.
You can take that off.
Well,
I mean, there's a thing underneath it.
Yeah, so this is the top one. The first time I did this thing, I went to show my secretary and it hit my leg and sprayed out water. Okay, so if you'll watch, again, here's the hole. And now I'm just going to drop it. Did any water come out?
No.
Why not? Because they fell at the same rate. The water can't get ahead of the cup because Galileo discovered they fall at the same acceleration. At every instant, they're at the same place, following this law of squares. First one unit, 4 units, 9 units, keep going.
Are you in high school science?
That's right.
This is one of his big conclusions about how things work in this world, this law of falling bodies. And look at this. So what did he do? He did experimentation. I should have put that on there, number one. He focused on an abstract ideal that he had to invent. He idealized to a vacuum. He projected his experiments to the vertical so that he could get to falling bodies. And then he ended up describing in terms of the distance falling, that they fall according to the law of squares. And that's what we still have today. So if you take calculus-based introductory physics, you'll learn the equations for this. Put it up here. Okay. So that's going to be one of them. And this one in particular we get to see in 2 New Sciences. And I think that sort of showed the stage that he began to set. A couple other things, and I kind of want to do this now, although I should do it for Galileo, for Newton. Some other things that are going to make science science. So let's see, I have 3 of these. And I have this little thing here. You've got a rod here. And now I can make it rotate. Now, can someone whistle? Who can whistle? Okay, you whistle, and it goes the other way. Okay, now whistle again. It goes back. So can you do that? By whistling? Do you think whistling has anything to do with it? I see all these... Kind of looks of disbelief. So it's going one way, and then, well, the whistle, and it slows down and turns around.
Your turn around?
Yeah, get it going. So, science, yeah, we discovered a new effect. So we can call it Whistler's windmill. Is there a new effect here? That do you think that whistling has anything to do with this? What could it have to do with it? Well, if you were close, maybe you were blowing on it and that could have caused it. But you were over there. So that wasn't it. So I'm actually being a charlatan doing this because it has nothing to do with whistling. Which would be a able to see that. So you're eliminating things you're saying have to. Now, would you like to know how it really works? Okay. If you just do this, I can get it to one way. But I'm doing it this way. When I want it to rotate one way, my finger is on one side of the rod. Okay? If I want it to reverse, I slyly move it up and have my thumb on the other side. That makes the rotate go from one to the other. Okay? So I wish I were really good at this. I could have been a magician instead. So this is a little thing you can try later. So Galileo's going to have to struggle with always going to experiments. Now, he set the stage. And by the way, Newton, as we'll see, was accused of introducing the occult into science. This is only the next generation already. People are getting upset with him that he brings the occult back into science when he postulated that gravity acts at a distance mysteriously. Descartes, as one person, didn't like that idea. Okay, let's go on and look at some other ideas from this as well that he came up to. And this is actually in Two Chief World Systems. I think it was page 126. Oh, ahead in your readings. And we're going to show a little thing here. So this is going to be, got to build up to this, and then we're going to see the proof of it again. This will be, how do projectiles move? Projectile cannonballs shot through the air. How do they actually move? And here's where we're going to see a tie back to the old way of expressing things. So what Galileo did, I'll just try to draw a little diagram here. We can go to a website that has a little animation that's on here. So where is it?
This is here. It's set. That's the that one. Browser.
Right here. Okay, got it.
There you go.
Okay. Where is it?
Oh, where is it you want to go?
No, I had the other one.
Then it's probably right over, right next to the trash can.
So there we go. So this is the one that had the Nova, Galileo, Galileo's battle for the heavens we're looking at. And if we look at interactions, okay, we have a couple things here, and let me show you those that you can. Look at falling objects. And I thought this was kind of neat because I like the backgrounds that you see. I thought it was sort of clever. Okay, so here it is. So it's a little hard to read there. A woman holds two cannonballs of different masses, very strong woman. And one is 10 pounds, the other is a pound. She's about to drop both objects at the same time. Before she releases the balls, decide what you think will happen. After you make your selection, click drop the cannonballs. So the selections are, and you tell me which one. This is your quiz. The heavier object will fall faster than the lighter one.
Yeah.
The lighter object will fall faster than the heavy one. Both objects will fall about the same rate. That one? Okay, so I'll click on that.
No.
Okay, we'll go on this one. Okay, we'll drop the cannonballs. Oh, what happened? They fell at the same rate. Okay. And then it goes here, and it gives you a little thing we talked about over there. So that's kind of neat. How do I get out of this?
You want to get rid of it. It's over in the corner.
Oh, no, not the whole one. I'm going to go back here, actually. Okay. So here we have our inclined plane. Okay, so now we've got these, and what we're going to do is, I think you can go to different angled ones. See his idea? We just talked about. So, goes on. It says, based on this experiment, which of the following two statements are true? The ball speed at the end of the inclined plane is always the same. The ball's speed at the end of the inclined plane depends on the inclination. It takes longer for the ball to reach the end when the inclination is slight. Or it takes, the time it takes for the ball to reach the end is always the same. So which are true?
The third one.
Second and the third one. Okay. And we can release the ball. You know, we can see what happens. Here I'll do the narrow one. How do the times look? Uh-oh. What are you observing? The same? No? It's a little hard to tell. Oh, so we have a number there. The speed is 1. Here the speed is 1. Here the speed is... Yes.
Is it because you're decreasing the distance?
We're changing the distance too when we change the incline. Yeah. So do you want to change your answers?
Yes.
The ball speed depends on the inclination. It takes longer. What do you think? Well, what did we find about the speed? Speed is the same, okay. And then what about time? Does it take longer or shorter?
Same.
Same, so you want to click this. So let's see. Let's get rid of that one. And you go here, and it says you're half right. Uh-oh. So, you can go and play with this. You got this done then. Now, I wanted to use this to illustrate another idea that he had. Notice there, we have an incline like that. Okay, suppose we took another one like it, put it up here, and release the ball. What will the ball do? It'll roll down and then stop?
It'll
go up. How far up will it go?
Depends on what the incline is.
So it depends on what the incline is. So it's going to be exactly like this, flipped over.
Mm-hmm.
So how high will it go? With no friction. No, nothing to really slow it down at all, change it.
All the way to the top.
So it returns to the same. It starts out here, it goes down, goes up, it's telling when to stop. And it reaches the same height. That makes sense? Okay. So now we change the incline. It goes down here, steeper. Goes up another one. But let's say it's not the same shape. It's a long one now. How high up will it go?
Until it's the same height.
Same height as it started out. Does everyone agree? It's going to go down, come up to the same height. So somehow the ball has a memory of where it started. So it's going to come down one incline, and then on the odd one. This much longer. So if it starts here, it will roll down until it reaches the same height that it did. So it would start here and finish here. So it would reach the same height. No matter what the shapes of the inclines are, it always wants to get to the same height. And he did this, and this is what happens. So I can't show you that here, but we can sort of think of what goes on there. So now he says, okay, let's take the second incline and let's make that less steep. So how far is it going to go now? Farther or shorter up the incline? It's going to reach the same height, so it's got to go longer along the incline. And now he says, and this is where he goes into the abstraction again, what happens if we make the second incline horizontal? What will the ball do? It'll keep going because it wants to get up to its original height. So it keeps going and going. And so he invented the ever-ready rabbit. But it keeps going and going because it wants to reach that height. And so what he's come up with is a new idea that replaces the old of natural motion towards natural place. Here he has the idea that natural motion is motion, horizontal motion, with constant speed. That's what this would keep on doing. Keep on going and going and going. If you didn't have any air resistance or something to slow it down, it would keep going and going. And that would be it. And this became his law of inertia. The law of inertia. So I had that there. And so this will be known as his law of inertia. That natural place is replaced by natural motion. Objects want to move horizontally with a constant speed. Now he had an error in here. What does horizontal mean? Where's your horizon? Right? So you go step outside, you can see the horizon, right? So is the horizon the same for everybody on the earth? No, it depends where you are. So if you were to connect all the horizons around the earth, what would you end up with? Here's the earth. Here's the earth. So here's a horizon here. Here's a horizon there. They're tangents. Horizon here, horizon here, horizon here. So if we connected all of these, what would we get? A circle. So that's what he thought. Things would want to go around circles around the earth. But that would be their natural motion. And he was wrong there. And it will take Descartes to straighten it out, really, and make it a straight line. A straight line, not to go around. So he wasn't exactly correct. But he had a very important idea that objects, when there's nothing acting on them, will want to move in straight lines with constant speed. And this became known as the law of inertia. So he had the error in that he thought it was circular motion. Of course, does anyone know what circular motion was a throwback to?
Celestial spheres.
Celestial spheres, yes, and Plato's idea of the perfection of a circle. That especially objects in the space, which are immutable, should be moving in perfect shapes, which are circles around us. And this is sort of a carryover, probably, in his thinking. So, second law we find, the law of inertia. So now I want to look, okay, where can we see here? So let's go back to that. Now they have another one here, which is on projectiles. And yes, projectiles. No. Projectiles. No.
Says this time she'll drop one, push the other one.
Oh, okay, good, good. That's what I want. So she's going to drop one, push the other away. She'll be careful to push the ball in a direction that is parallel to the ground, or horizontal. And before you give in, so the ball that falls straight down will reach the ground first. So you, one you throw like this, the other you drop. So one we're going to drop. This one I'll drop, this one I'm going to throw at the same time, from the same height. So, will the one that falls straight down reach the ground first? What do you think? Let's vote on it. Who votes for this? Straight, shorter path, go straight down. Does this hit the ground first?
No.
No. Is that your final answer?
It's my final answer.
Your final answer is no.
We'll do the same time this time.
Same time?
Because even though the one's projecting out, it's still dropping as it's projecting out.
Beautiful. That's a good way to think. Yeah. even though it's going this way, it still is falling. And what did he say in his law of falling bodies? All objects fall at the same time. Did he say only those that are dropped? So it's as long as this one goes out.
It goes back to the incline thing. It still was getting to the bottom at the same time, whether it was straight down or in an angle.
Okay. And what do you think, how does this ball move this way? It moves, it falls down, so it accelerates downward, but this way it moves with constant speed, following the law of inertia. Incline experiments. Okay. So let's it'll go, well, we're going to do that. As soon as it is. That's actually, Newton's going to do that. And he's going to come up with another idea. In there. So yeah, that's going to be the good question. So let's see here. So you want to say the balls will reach the ground at the same time? Are you convinced of this?
What's option three?
Option three is the ball that is thrown will reach the ground first. This is it. This is worth $1 million.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say.
Okay. Same time. Same time?
Yeah.
Okay, who votes for same time?
One, two, 10.
Who votes for the one that's thrown reaches the ground first?
1.
Okay. 2. Who votes for the one that falls reaches the ground first? Okay, good. So let's do the experiment. We do the cannonballs. Now watch carefully.
Same time.
Oh, no excuses for the writings.
Didn't push it hard enough. Okay. I should have, but we actually have an apparatus to do this, which has a little spring and a ball that mounts on the end of a rod that's got a hole in it. And then one that gets hit by the spring, so it projects, and the other one falls. And it happens so fast you can't really see it, but you listen. And what do you hear? You hear them hit at the same time. In fact, they bounce, and then you hear them go as they bounce, too. So you hear them right in step. I'll try to do that here, but probably not going to be too good. So, because I don't think I can time this well. I'm not that coordinated. So let's see. I have to do the same height, and so I got to do this.
Close.
Fairly close.
Okay.
Not exactly. Thank you. Okay, so the reason is precisely what you said. One, they're both falling. So he looked at this projectile motion as a combination of natural motion downward with constant acceleration, and then motion this way, inertially meaning constant speed. Because gravity only acts in which direction? Downwards. There's no gravity this way. There's no acceleration this way, horizontally. So you have to, by the way, throw it horizontally. What would happen if I did this, dropped one and threw one like this? Which one would get there first? The one on the right. Because I've got, partially I'm throwing it down, I'm giving it some velocity downwards, not just dropping it. So it had to be exactly horizontally that this would happen. Okay. So, Galileo then had a thought experiment on this, which is kind of neat, and that's here on page 126 that he's describing, and it's going to be what happens on a moving ship. On a moving ship. So, we'll look at this version. It says, think of a sailboat cruising along at a nice clip. Now imagine that you're at the top of the mast holding a ball. You let go of the ball, and what will happen? Well, it falls straight down along the mast. Does everyone agree? According to you on the mast. Yeah? So we'll drop it. Here you see. Did everyone see it go straight down? Okay, now you're on the mast, you see it go straight down. If this were Aristotelian, what would have happened? It would have wanted to go to the center of the earth, and so it would have just gone down from there, and you would have seen the ball go backwards. Because you released it, and it just wants to go down, and you're moving away from it. But it doesn't do that. Galileo says, no, it's not going to do that. So this caused a lot of arguments. And this was probably never done at his time, but it was done later. to verify this. But let's watch a little more closely here. And this time, we're going to be watching it from the shore. Okay? And watch carefully what happens as it's dropped. Ah. So now we see the reason the person on the ship says it lands at the bottom of the mast is because we see it moving with the speed of the boat this way, which it keeps moving with, and then it falls according to falling body. So it's the same thing for projectile motion, but now it's got to be relative to the observer. So he brought in another thing, that motion is relative. The person on the boat sees it fall straight down. Someone on the shore sees it move along this arc here, following that kind of motion.
Where's it being dropped?
It's a...
Oh, it's a...
Yeah, there's a person on a mast.
And that's how we see it.
Yeah, this is how we would see it. Now, they should have gone one step further. Now suppose the person doesn't have the ball, but there's a rod here holding the ball. And the ship goes by. Okay? So the ball is attached to the ground. Right? It's not on the boat anymore. He goes by, and now he hits the ball. What will you see the ball do, and what will he see the ball do?
He'll miss the ship.
Okay, so the ball's here, just standing here, attached to the ground. When the ship goes by, he's going to knock it over. So what will the ball follow the same path like we see here? So what will it do according to us and according to someone on the boat? The guy on the shore will just see it go straight down, right? Just a lip. And who will see an arc?
The guy on the ship.
Okay, and what kind of way will the arc be?
Yeah.
It's going backwards, right? Because he's moving away this way, and that seems to him to be going the opposite direction. Okay, it's out of it. It has the motion of the ship in the first case, so that's why it continues to move with the ship this way. In the second case, it doesn't have the motion of the ship. So it falls straight down according to someone on the ground, but according to someone on the ship, he's just moving away from it. He sees it go like that.
What does it really do?
Pardon?
What does it really do?
That's what it does. And there's maybe I'll run and get it.
Can't do two different things.
Well, you have one, because one's on the boat and one's not on the boat. So.
Yeah, I understand the different perceptions, but what is actually correct?
No, they're two different situations, so they're both correct. Because one is when the ball's on the boat, and the other is when the ball's attached to the ground. And he just goes by and taps it over. So in the first case, the ball has the motion of the ship, and it keeps that. In the second, it doesn't have the motion of the ship.
No, in the same case. That's what I mean.
In the same case?
By my view and the guy on the ship's view, in the same case, whose view is correct?
Both. Because what turns out is, this is the other idea he brought up, motion is relative. You have to look at whose viewpoint it's according to. Yeah. So that's the other important idea. Motion becomes a relative thing. Think of the following. I like to give this to students. Suppose you were the only person in the universe. Okay? And could you tell if you're moving or not with a constant speed? No, because you couldn't see anything, right? You couldn't see that's getting farther away or anything like that. You couldn't see, so you couldn't tell. Now you have you and a friend. And you see your friend getting bigger. So, are you moving, or is your friend moving towards you? There's only two. You can't look at anything else. There's nothing else around. Just the two of you. Yeah, no. All you could say is that you are moving towards each other, relative to each other. And that's what Galileo had discovered. Motion is relative. You always have to say who's according to whom. And different observers can see different things. When you take the modern rule of course, you'll find out Einstein extended this.
Yeah.
And he's going to extend it to where time and space can also mesh up and stretch and things. Things are even weirder. but it's all relative. That's why it's the theory of relativity. So Galileo introduced the first ideas on relativity in here. In fact, we credit him. In fact, we call it in physics Galilean relativity. And that sets the stage for Einsteinian relativity. And it's going to follow 300 years later. Okay. So, I don't want to get to that. Yeah, I got to go back a little, because we have to look at his motion in the heavens too. But we'll probably take a break.
We certainly can. I wonder if I could take a moment to say point out two things that are on the blackboard, namely. Oh, where will my blackboard be? Do we still have blackboard?
It
doesn't matter. Oh, yes, we just got out. Yes. Okay. Well, we can have it again, no doubt. And that's so. I'll just do a new one. And I think we're there. Yes. Okay. We're here. So I just wanted to point out to you that we have. So for next time, we've had these things up for a while, but I've been fiddling with them. And well, it's on to Descartes, as you know. So what we've got up here now is, let's see what it says there, Discourse on Method Standard Text, which in fact is not the one that I've had up there for a while. But we're using this one that is from, ultimately from, I don't know, Google or some such, no, Gutenberg. And, yes, you can download it there if you want to, but we've already got it here. I put it into Word form and into RTF, and it's also in PDF. And that's partly bookmarked. That's fairly convenient to use, I think, and doesn't take up too much time. And in case you didn't want to even bother doing that, you can simply click on this folder here, and you'll see the whole thing. Then you can go down, and you'll see it, all of it, in that frame there. Okay, so that is for next time. And insofar as you feel the need, I mean, go examine these other places that we have here for background to these different things. Here it is, by the way, a PDF filed it in French if you want to look at it in the original. Okay, so that is for next time.
This lecture?
I beg pardon?
Your lecture?
No, mine is the week after that, 2 weeks from now. So this is, and for that one, if we look at that, what is there now? So we're doing, for that week, we're doing the Lettre Provinciale, and, oh yeah, so the first thing you have up there is, that is, yes, this is Google Books. Well, okay. But it's a nice, it's a not hard to read thing, the way they have it. Now, up there at the top, I think, yes, that's the whole thing. That's all 18 of the letters. And I've divided up the first 10 I'm asking you to read into these individual files here that you see, so it'll be easier to download and deal with in various ways. That'll be fine. I think that'll be easy enough to read. And then what have I got here? Okay, here it is. You can get it here on at this site. You can see it, get the French text, but here I've also put it into a Word document and into RTF, the same business, but that's the entire text. Okay, and have I put up anything else? Not right in the way of factology for Pascal for you to look at in connection with the letters. I have not done that yet, but I'm sure I will get around to that. Okay, so that's for your increased reading convenience for the next couple of weeks. All right, how long a break should we take? It's now, by my watch, it's 2018. He wants to say 10 minutes if you're thinking of having another break later on or not thinking. The folks do like to go get their coffees.
Okay.
Can we manage 15 minutes? 15 minutes. All right, that's going to be in approximately, yes, 8, whatever that was.
8:35.
I'm going to run. And I'm going to run and get the other seat.
Excellent.
Show that experience.
Excellent. Okay.
that was actually also something